Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I want to preach this morning for a little while, if God will be my help, on this thought, changing the pattern. Changing the pattern. As we look at this, the Bible's pretty explicit here. Jesus is speaking, and he says in the book of Mark 16, verse 15, he said, "Go ye." Now that ye is me and you. Amen. That's us. "Into all the world and preach the gospel." That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you go, if we're saved and born again, believe on Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't go and proclaim the gospel and tell people about Christ, then all we have, as Brother Bill, you say, is a spell. Amen. The gospel without the go is just a spell. But he said we should go and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So we should go and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the Great Commission. God gave this so that we might win souls, that we would be soul winners, amen? So that God could get glory out of it and that he could reconcile humanity unto himself. Humanity was lost because of sin. Our forefathers, Adam and Eve, were in a garden and they were tempted and they forsook the word of God and listened to their flesh and the things of it. We blame it on Satan, but I tell you, the thing that gives us the most trouble is this flesh that we live in. Amen. That's what happened to them. They were in the garden. They had it made in a perfect place. I said one time they could run around naked, didn't have to worry about chigger bites and skeeter bites and none of that stuff, because God had created a perfect environment that he put his people in. And God would walk with them in the cool of the day, and he would talk with them and he'd commune with them. I want to say the same God that was with them, Brother Bill, is the same God with us today. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to commune with you and I, praise God. And so he's trying to get close to us again. He's trying to reconcile us unto himself, praise God, and reconcile sinners that they might be saved. But we live in a day and hour that I believe we've got slack on the going. Amen. We're not going into highways and the hedges. We're not going into all the world and compelling them to come in like we should, to our shame, praise God. So what we need to do, if we're going to do anything, is just change the pattern of the way that we do things. Now, if we've got a pattern, that pattern's not sufficient. Amen. If there's flaws and errors in it and things that is not accomplishing what we want to do, then what we need to do is not to give that pattern to somebody else, but we need to take that pattern and we need to get rid of it. We need to chunk it. We need to do away with it. Now, we could take a pattern that's no account and we could give it to somebody else and they could pattern themselves after that. They could take that pattern and make that pattern part of their life. But what happens when we have a pattern that's not working? We need to just take that pattern. Instead of giving it out to somebody, we need to change the pattern. Amen. I believe the day and the hour that we're living in our churches, we need to change the pattern. Amen. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the Great Commission. We need to get back to winning souls. We need to get back to carrying the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of a living Savior. Amen. The one that rose from the dead, praise God, victorious over death and the grave, so that we could rise up in newness of life. Quickened by the Spirit of God, praise God, he sent forth to minister to you and me. I want to say, praise God, 1976, when Jesus saved me by his marvelous grace, he put something in me, praise Lord, praise the Lord, that wouldn't let me keep going the way I was going. Now, I'm not perfect by any means. You're not perfect by any means, but I serve a perfect Savior and knows the feeling of my infirmities. And praise God, the Holy Spirit, he speaks to my weak heart and my weak body and my weak mind, praise God, and he shows me his will, and that's above my will, and he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. We wonder why the world's in such a mess. It's because we've let down on God. I said, because we have let down on God. We're not carrying the gospel. We're not doing that great commission that he called us to do. Amen. We're not soul winners no more. Amen. Praise God, we get caught up and it's my four and no more, and we're perfectly content with that. But we ought to be seeking and desiring every day for some old sinner to be saved. Amen. Fulfilling that great commission. Look over at Luke chapter number 14. Remember Luke chapter 14? The Bible speaks pretty explicit about what God wants to do in that. Luke chapter number 14. Bible says in verse 16, he said a certain man, Jesus speaking, said a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time and to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are made ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. I want to say, listen, there's a great God of heaven. Praise God, Jehovah God, who's made a great supper and he's bid many to come. He said, all things are now ready through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Everything's ready for salvation. Everything's ready, praise God, to come to the Lord. Everything's ready to feast off of his table. Everything's ready, praise God, that God has. As for those that are born again, I want to say this morning, praise God, the change in the pattern. We need to get back to what we believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and born in a manger, lived and bled, shed his blood, died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. He became a propitiation, a price of sin, praise God. So through him, praise God, we could go free, justification, just as if we'd never sinned. We know that we're all old sinners. Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ought to be shouting it from the housetops and from the hilltops and from the mountaintops. Praise God that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Praise his holy name. I remember Steve Reinhardt used to tell a story about old Dummy Brown. He used to stand down here at the bottom of the mountain in Tennessee. Praise God, there was a great big cross up on that mountain, and Dummy Brown couldn't say a thing, but God saved him, Brother Jeb, by his marvelous grace. And he said, old Dummy Brown would stand down there on the side of the road, and his cars come by, he'd go, and when they'd stop, he couldn't say a word, but he'd point up to that cross, glory, hallelujah, and he'd point to himself. Amen. He couldn't say a word, but he was sharing the gospel. Man, they said he was, no telling how many hundreds of people were saved because Dummy Brown was standing on the side of the road and point down across the Calvary and point to himself. Amen. Praise God, he was sharing the gospel. Amen. Praise God, the simple message of Lord Jesus Christ. But he said they all with one consent begin to make an excuse. I wonder today as we look at our families and our homes and ourselves, how many times we make excuses. Amen. Yeah, you can sit here today, devil will give you, hey listen, every Sunday morning the devil will give you 25 reasons not to go to church. Amen. Amen. The devil on Wednesday night will give you 25 reasons why you're too tired to go to church. And now on Sunday evening, praise God, the devil will give you 25 more reasons why to not go to church. And because the devil don't want you to get in, praise God. Hey, there's a table been set, glory, hallelujah. God Almighty, the great King of glory has set a table and he wants us to dine, but the devil wants to starve you out. Amen. He don't want you to be fed. He don't want you to be full. See, God will fill you with the joy of heaven. Devil don't want you there. He wants to keep you beat down. He wants to keep you discouraged if you'll let him. But the Bible says that they all begin to make excuses. And first, the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, must need to go and see it. I prayed you have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Well, if there's ever been a reason to go to the house of God, praise God, it's because you married a wife. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, if you got a wife, you need to be down at the house of God. You need all the help you can get. Amen. Praise God. So as you keep, hey, wait a minute now, so you can keep yourself straight, praise God, so she don't have to. Amen. Thought I was going to slam the ladies, didn't you? Praise God. Amen. Because he said, we married a wife. What excuses? That's all that they are. They're excuses. Not to serve the Lord. Not to do what God would have us to do. Now listen to what he says. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Reckon the Lord's pleased when we make excuses? What if he wouldn't made an excuse not to go to Calvary? He said, well, Father, they're all sinners exceeding. I shouldn't have to do this. But praise God, he went. Amen. He came to die on the cross for our sins. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither. Now watch this, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Amen. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. But he says, and yet there is room. You know, I got to thinking about that the other day. And Brother Chris, I don't know that there's any churches around here that's plumb full to overflowing. Amen. This COVID thing has got people scared to, well, we use it as an excuse. Amen. Scared to death to go to church. Amen. But they're not scared to go to Walmart. Amen. Wally World has spent hours shopping. Amen. They're not afraid to go down to the Lowe's and the Home Improvement Center and spend hours in the flower garden places shopping. Amen. We're scared to death go to the house of God. Excuses. Excuses. Amen. Excuses to keep from doing the what God would have us to do. He said, fail not to assemble yourself together as custom is, so the more you see the day approaching. Amen. We're seeing some days approaching. It's getting pretty interesting. But God Almighty said, I'm here with you. And I'll be with you always, through everything. And we need him more than we ever have. But he said, and the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast said, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. He said, listen, there's still room. Those that was invited, now we know that's the Jew. The Jews were invited, and they came to his own received him not. Then he came to an old Gentile dog, Gentile world, and praise God, and invited them to come in. Thank God that he did, so we could get in. And he said, go and compel them to come in, that the house will be full. It ought to be a change in pattern, praise God. We ought to be seeing the houses of God being filled up. Amen. Amen. Every one of us we've got enough family members to fill this church to overflowing.
Amen.
Amen. But what's happened? The pattern that we've been following is not correct. We haven't been compelling them to come in because of our lives, because of our attitudes, because of our actions and our reactions. They kind of shun away from us. Amen. But we said we should be compelling them to come in with the good works that we do. See, we're not saved by works. But if we're saved, we should work to be pleasing to God. Amen. Christian responsibility, amen, being a child of God, bless his name, that takes place in local congregations. God holds them accountable. The accountability of local congregations like this to go into the world and compel them to come in. The world's drawing them. They're putting everything, Hollywood's putting everything they can out there for them to get a hold of. And they're drawing our kids like crazy. Amen. Oh, wicked games. They're talking about opening a place right down the road here. Some old wicked gaming to draw the children. Give the children something to do. God help. We need to get them back to Sunday school and the church and get them involved, praise God. Get them to realize that they're something that's a whole lot better than what the world has. Be excited about it. Again, praise the Lord. So we see God's beginning to move and causing for an accountability. We see the story over in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. The parable of the Lord. Jesus answered and spake unto them, verse number 1, again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. There you go again. We can be referring to the Jew because Matthew's writing to the Jew. but it's also speaking to the, me and you. He said, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard therefore thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants, now watch this, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And a wedding was furnished with guests. Now he says, listen here, he says, go ye into the highways. The king's commandment to his servants, to go ye, that's me and you, into the highways. And compelled them to come in. And said, so they went out into the highways and the hedges. And said, so as many as they found. Now listen, they didn't call none. Let me say this, church. If we ain't very careful, we won't invite certain people to there because we don't think they'll fit in. Because they're you know, we don't think they're as good as us. You know, they're not sophisticated. They don't have the right language. They don't have the right attitude. They don't have the right actions. So we don't invite them to come in. We have a respect of persons which God don't have. Amen. We ought to be inviting those. Those are people that need it the most. Amen. Those that, he said they invited both good, both bad and good. He said, and the wedding was furnished. See, we can, hey, all we can do is invite them and get them in. God has to save them. And God has to manifest himself to them. God has to want be the one that does the saving. Praise God. And the servants went out into highways and the hedges and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Amen. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Amen. The scope of responsibility. Who does it fall on? You say, well, pastor, it falls on you. You're the pastor of the church. Amen. I take full responsibility. But I've told you before, I can't do it by myself. It takes you and me working together to invite them to come in. And when they come, let me say, we ought to love on them and let them know that we appreciate. We appreciate our visitors today. Amen. We appreciate each and every one of you being here. It's just such a blessing that you chose and honored us with your presence today to worship God in spirit and truth. What a blessing. Amen. Never take it for granted because we ought to be compelling folks, encouraging folks, whatever it takes to get folks in because we're getting ready to go somewhere great. Amen. If we're getting ready to go somewhere and where we could have us a really good time, and we had a bunch of friends and stuff, we'd be calling them up. They'd say, hey, you know what? We're going to go on a trip and we're going to have a blast for the next 2 weeks. And any friends and relatives, whatever, everybody you got, praise God, you need to invite them to go with you. Ever tell them everything's free. It'd be lined up. You couldn't get enough Greyhound buses to pack them on. Amen. We'd be telling everybody we saw, hey, it's free, praise God. There's plenty of room. Come on. We got a free trip to Jesus to heaven through Jesus Christ our Savior, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the pattern that we're living in, praise God, we don't go into highways, hedges, and compel them. That word compel means to do whatever it takes to encourage them, to draw them, so that they could be saved, so that they could be ready to go on that wonderful trip, that marvelous trip to heaven one day. If you miss heaven, you miss it all. So the scope of responsibility, it falls back on us. Amen. To lift up the name of Jesus, praise God. To give Him glory and praise so folks can be saved. See, the early church did this. The early church was about the Father's business. Jesus, when He was here, preached last Sunday night on Jesus as a little boy, praise God. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Young, listen, church, we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be compelling folks. We need to be encouraging folks to get in. We're about to run out of time. Today's a dispensation of grace is running out. And we need to be saved. We've got family members, loved ones, children brothers and sisters, mamas and daddies, mamas and papas that's lost. They'll end up in an ever-burning hell, lost without God. But we need to change our pattern and start encouraging people, a pattern of being disciples for Christ. Encouraging people in the Lord. The early church took the Great Commission seriously. They also took the Great Commission literally. We need to take it seriously. We need to take it literally. He said to go in highways, hedges, and compel them to come in. And they did. In Acts chapter number 5, the Bible tells us about the Peter and the disciples and the work that they done for the Lord. In Acts chapter number 5 and verse 25, he said, then came one of them and saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now they had done locked them up for teaching and preaching the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, and when the captain of the officers had brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, now watch this, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, the name of Jesus? Now watch this, and he said, behold, pay attention, look, let me show you something. He said, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Now, by that, a doctrine is biblical instruction. It's the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about a Savior who was born. Amen. He said, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So the disciples said, you're teaching in Jesus' name. And he said, praise God, because of that, because you've been sharing the gospel. He said, you filled Jerusalem with the gospel of Christ. Amen. We need to be filling our Jerusalem where we live, praise God, with the gospel of Christ. They need to be seeing Christ. They need to be hearing Christ, praise God. They need to be knowing Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. How sleuthful we are in our presentation of Christ as our Savior. Amen. Praise God. They were doing it on a regular basis. If you turn over the page to verse 42. Well, verse 40 says, and to them they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And now watch this, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach. What? Jesus Christ. Amen. Every day in every house, they just gave glory and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you brought. The thought to count himself, praise God, blessed to have been beat for the cause of Christ. I mean, we won't even say nothing because we're afraid what somebody might think. We might hurt somebody's feelings. Somebody told me a while back, said, well, preacher, so I don't want to do anything, so I don't want to hurt their feelings. I said, yeah, but they need to tell them what they're doing is wrong. I'd rather their feelings be hurt than them die and go to hell lost without God. Tell them that there's a Savior and his name is Jesus and he loves them and he'll save them by his marvelous grace if they'll let him. So they were in the temple and in every house. Wonder what it looks like at our house, at your house, my house. Do we brag on Lord Jesus Christ? Do we lift up his name? Do we praise him like we ought to? You see, we need to have a change of pattern. Our pattern needs to be changed. We throw out that old and praise God, get us a new one. To where every day we just ask the Lord to help us just praise him, give him glory. As Miss Marty said this morning, praise God, we ask him for things, we ought to be willing to thank him, praise him for when we get it. When he blesses us in so many ways as he always does. Amen. And we'll begin to see things happening. The Bible says they began to add to the church such as should be saved. Amen. In Acts chapter number 2 and verse four, number 47, the Bible says this. He said, they continued daily, verse 46, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God was adding to the church those that should be saved. You know, there's a whole lot of people in our families that should be saved. They should have already got in. They should have already been saved. They should have already been part of the family of God. They should already be enabling themselves, preparing themselves to go to heaven for a place prepared for those who've prepared for that place. Amen. But there's a whole lot of people that's going to miss it. They'll miss it by 16 inches. Because they got Jesus and they know Him in their head, but we don't have Him in our hearts. Amen. That's why we should be compelled and come in. We should be showing Jesus Christ. We should be getting them into the house of God where they can hear the gospel and be saved. God's adding them up a little at a time. But then he goes from addition. I love this. He goes from addition to multiplication. Amen. To multiplication. He goes in chapter number 6 and verse 1 of Acts. He says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied. Amen. He went from adding them in to multiplying them. Amen. See, that's the way God designed it to be. Praise God. He goes from addition to multiplication. And then he goes to a great multitude. In verse number 2 of Acts 6, it says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. Amen. So the disciples is witnessing for Christ, and they witness, praise God, and God adds to them daily such as should be saved. And so then they begin to multiply in great numbers by thousands. And then they get to the point they can't multiply them by thousands, and they just call them great multitudes. Amen. The seashore was full of folks that come to worship God and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be praising God. Amen. They're counting. Pious counting in thousands. Amen. Praise God. And they go to counting in multitudes. He says in Acts chapter 4, in verse 32, he said, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. That's what made the difference. What'll make a difference in our life, church, is those that believe on Lord Jesus Christ and not ashamed to share the gospel. Amen, Lord Jesus. But we've got to change the pattern in which we live. Our pattern, that old pattern that we've lived by, praise God, it's not working. We need to get rid of it, and we need to get us a new pattern to worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 17, listen to what he says in verse 4. He said, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. In other words, they united and come together with them. That's what we need to be doing in the day and hour we live. We need to be coming together, united in one. One mind and one accord, serving and seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him, praise God, in spirit and truth. With Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. Now watch this. And of the chief women, not a few. Amen. They got to the point that they couldn't add no more. They couldn't multiply no more. Praise God. They was a multitude. And they said of chief women that was getting in, not a few. There's a great big number of them. Praise God. And they're giving God glory. Because God Almighty is saving old sinners. Saving these Greeks. Saving these women. Praise the Lord. But then he goes on and says in verse number 12. He said, therefore many of them believed also of honorable women which were of Greeks. And of men, not a few. Great multitudes. Men were getting in. Ladies was getting in. They said, it wasn't just a few. He said, there was a great number that was getting in on the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. They were believing on Jesus Christ and being saved, becoming part of the family of God. Amen. They were believing. They so many that they lost count, couldn't keep up with the number. Well, wouldn't that be an exciting thing? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see this whole valley just full of people just worshiping and praising God? Just giving God glory for just being the good God of heaven, for sending a Savior to die for our sins according to the Scriptures and to rise victorious over death and the grave because God said so. And we believe it. People getting saved. But the only way it's going to happen is the Great Commission. Soul winning. It's when we change the pattern, the way we're doing things, and doing it the way God gets glory out of it. Amen? And it takes individuals making a commitment to Christ, asking Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, to give you a burden for souls, amen, to be saved. Jesus Christ, the Bible says that if we call ourselves Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like. Amen. Christ had a burden and a desire in his whole life to see old sinners saved. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that was lost. Amen. As children of God, listen, as people that claim to be Christian, Christ-like, you and I ought to have a burden for old sinners. A burden to hear the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on Lord Jesus Christ, to lift up His name and to praise Him and give Him glory so others can see it and they can be saved. And the Lord said, go into highways, hedges, and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. God wants His house full. He wants His people filled. He said, be not drunk with wine, whereas next day, but be filled with the Spirit so we can go out and compel them to come in. Go out and encourage people to get saved. Born again, amen, become children of God. You say, Pastor, why? It's urgent. It's urgent. Because our days are numbered. See, that's why the devil's a fighting so hard. There's not a family here that the devil ain't fighting in a great way. But we need to go in highways, hedges, and compel to come in so that we can get the help that we need to resist the devil. Amen. In the last days. We need to be arming ourselves with salvation. The helmet of salvation, praise God, so that so that our minds will be clear, so we can think upon the things that's right. So we can change that pattern, the way we've been doing things, to a pattern the way God would do things. Amen. He'd send them out. He told the disciples, the fields are already white to harvest. He said, it's already ready. We just need workers, laborers in the fields. We need laborers. We need people to work. We need people to help. We need to change a pattern, the way we do it, to a pattern that'd be clean, be pleasing to God, because God said, go ye. Amen. That's the Great Commission. Go ye, you. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to go? Are we willing to do what we need to do to bring glory to God's name and to see sinners saved? Go ye. Amen. Said in the book of Mark, said in the book of Matthew, go ye. The Great Commission from God. Amen.